Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for the September 14th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming to the WFHR stage our good friend, Jasmine Carbajal. She is the 4-H Associate Educator with Marathon of Wood Counties. Jasmine, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Good to see you, too.
I actually turned it on and then turned it off on accident. I don't know why I did that to you. It's always nice to have you in studio, to have you around and talk 4-H. We appreciate the time. First off, how are things going with 4-H?
Everything, you know, it's after coming back from the fair, it seems like it's okay, slowing down, but really not, because it's already mid-September, and so we are in the middle of, well, in the start and middle of our enrollment season. So now that, like, the fair is over, it's time to really start just talking about 4-H some more and see, like, maybe some new youth that want to join our clubs, and our last year's youth, they can go ahead and start re-enrolling for the year again now. And so it's really starting to get crazy again.
I remembered what I wanted to ask, Jasmine. The fair. How did the fair go?
The fair went well. Mm. We had lots of activities every day over there, aside from, like, everything scheduled. So kids could come in and families could come in into our junior fair building and just participate in some extra things. We had a digital goose chase going on that families just loved, and the youth just loved it. And had to go around and find different things, and so it was a great fair.
You know, one of the things that you and Laura and I talk about with 4-H is the evolution of 4-H and how much more it is expanded its range of type of kid or any of these things, and the things that you guys do at 4-H. But there's certain stuff that just is the same as it's always been with 4-H. 4-H and fairs, they just go together.
They sure do.
But while a lot of us, especially those that didn't take 4-H or anything, we see that and we kind of get that and it makes sense.
Yes.
But why is it so integral for 4-H to be involved with fairs from your perspective?
From my perspective, you know, I think that I've always thought that our youth is our future. And so the fair is a perfect place for really our youth, not only in 4-H, but really like FFA and some of these other organizations that come to the fair to really showcase those skills of not only in their animals and what they've done traditionally, but some of the other projects that come in. And that is where we see their talents. That is where they are so proud to showcase kind of what they've done throughout the year and see those skills that they have learned. And for me, as an adult, it really just gives me that faith that we are in good hands.
Yeah. I get that feeling. Time and time again, it hits me. And it's like, whew, oh, that feels good. Yes. It's almost like wiping your forehead. Yes. Like, whew, all right, we got good youth coming up.
We're good.
You brought up something in there that I think maybe not the most integral part of this scenario, but it is important. The pride and the feel-good, the confidence the kids take from having their animals or having any of these things out there for the people to take in. There is any opportunity to build confidence in our youth, I think, is kind of a part of our job as adults.
I agree with you.
Whether you are involved in 4-H or in the education system or even have kids, I think it's on all of us as adults to do that. And we're able to do that in those situations and the fairs and that.
Yep. The fair is big, and we're always happy to be there and see all the youth that participate and increase our numbers every year, right? Like, that's always the goal, too, to get more kids involved.
Jasmine, you mentioned enrollment. When it comes to that, for families out there listening and thinking about getting their children involved in 4-H, are there things you should know as far as enrollment goes, as far as districts, if you're listening in this district or that?
That's a great question. So we actually have clubs throughout the county. Mm-hmm. So what we always tell our families is, you know, on our website, which we will mention at some point today, you can go on there and find our directory of clubs. And then you can look and see, okay, do you want to find a club based on where they meet that's convenient to you? Or the day of the week might be more convenient to you. Some of our clubs are more centered around certain projects, like certain animals or certain things. So is that going to be a better fit for your family? And you can always call our office or call the leaders directly, because their information is on our website as well. And say, hey, can I come check out a meeting and just kind of feel what this is like? And so that's what we always encourage families to do, to come just check it out and see what it's about. And then go from there. So that is one important thing. It's looking at that. The other thing is, if you enroll now through kind of November 1st, then that guarantees you going to the fair. So we just finished talking about that. So then, you know, we'll talk about projects and all of that kind of later in the year, but definitely that guarantees you, like, if you're enrolled, you're good to go. You'll be showing at the fair. And so, yeah, that would be the first two things to kind of just consider, kind of checking out something. And we're always available. So if there's always, like, just inquiries, or we always have events going on, you know, throughout the year. So it, you can enroll anytime, but really this is like our big recruitment period.
Is there age requirements with any of this?
Sure. So for ages, kindergarten through 13th grade, and there's really minimal fees to enrolling at a county level. I think it's like a $3 per member. And we've talked about this before. Like, we don't ever want any sort of amount to be a challenge. So that really, we wouldn't really even talk about it too much. If a family is really interested, then we'll talk about it. And if there's a hardship, then no worries. Some clubs might have some other fees, but it's very minimal to join. 4-H.
It's something that I champion, and I'm so proud of. Anytime I talk about 4-H, is that right there? Yeah. You know, there's a billion things to be proud of. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, though, is that the idea of not letting any kid not be able to take in 4-H for those reasons. Right. That's beautiful. That's cool.
We are proud of it too.
You have some wonderful events coming up. Let's dive into
these.
Let's do it. I'm so excited to talk about these.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's go chronological. Let's go in order of the dates of these. And I believe that starts us right at Uintos.
So it actually will start us right at the Cornhole.
Cornhole tournament. Yes, the Cornhole tournament.
So when we talk about kind of the diversity in projects, we started countywide. We kind of revived a program, and it's now our Teen Leaders program. And so this, our Teen Leaders are for 6th grade and up, and if you're interested in this, if you have a youth that's in 6th grade or older and you want to be a teen leader for our county, get in touch with us. We'll get you kind of more information. But the teens, the group that we have right now, they're so excited. They're so ready. They want to be putting on events. And again, right, these are their ideas. Yeah, this is them independently coming up with the things they want to do. So they want to do this cornhole tournament. So this is to wrap up our National 4-H Week, which is coming that first week in October. So it's October 8th. And it's for youth in grade 3rd through 13th, and they will get to pick kind of their category of what grade level they want to participate in. And then it starts at 3, so when they come to the park that we're going to hold this at, they're going to sign up individually ahead of time, and then that day they get to meet their partner. And then we go ahead and we start the tournament, and there will be some trophies, I hear, and light refreshments. So it's going to be a really fun event. What I'm really proud of is that it really is the teens that are currently members of our county program that are leading this, that are putting this on. Isn't that cool?
How has that gone for them?
So far, it's going well. They did a pool day this summer, and we had a pretty good turnout for that as well. Good. And that excited them more, right, to do more things. And they are starting to look at community service opportunities as well. And so I'm really excited to really just be there, not only to support them, to watch them as well and grow it. So if there's any other teens interested in joining Teen Leaders, let us know.
When it comes to some of the thing, like signing up individually, being paired with somebody, and possibility of making new friends and new relationships, was that something they came up with, the teams?
Yes, they were, because I was like, so are you, because I asked her, I was like, are you going to have them sign up as a team already or individually? Like, no, let's have more fun and just everybody sign up individually and we'll just, you know, do it that day. And I love that, because that spontaneity is how you say it.
Yeah. It works.
It works. That is awesome. I love that.
I growing up, I thought I was one of the one of 10 kids in the whole universe that was bad at making friends.
Yeah.
I just thought that I was like world famously bad at making friends. I just was no good at it. And then as I got older and I start having kids of my own and I start seeing them and other children when I teach classes and that, I see, it wasn't just me. A lot of kids have trouble with this. A lot of kids have trouble meeting and interacting with more people or new people. What a great opportunity for that, for just that alone, let alone the fun, the cornholing, all of the other stuff.
And like the age group, right? Like sometimes we have a hard time thinking about what do our teens want to do? What is something engaging for our teens? So this is perfect for that age group that like are just looking to go out and maybe make new friends or maybe just learn something new or just have fun as well and interact with some other youth.
Another fun part of this too, to me, is with the sport itself. It's not too hard to learn. It's one of those ones that everybody can play. Yes. And that inclusiveness is really nice too.
Yeah, see, we're excited. I don't remember what I suggested they do, and they're like, no, we want to do a cornhole tournament. Yeah, I'm like, okay, we'll do it.
I love that part of it too. That this is, well, you and Laura come up with some amazing stuff, and you guys do an amazing job. It's a great idea, not only for a life lesson, for really a part of the point of 4-H, but just in creatively. Just, yeah. You know, is kind of fun to sit back and see that happen, I imagine.
Thank you for that. Yeah, no, we do come up with some great stuff, but we always love it when it comes from them because we know they'll engage better that way.
What are the details of this event?
So, again, this cornhole tournament for youths, third grade through 13th grade, October 8th, and it starts at 3. We want you to sign up by September 30th, so by the end of the month, so we know how many people to plan for as far as, like, refreshments. Mm-hmm. We're going to be holding it at the Northwood County Park by that park pavilion there, and there is a registration link on our website, on our Facebook page, and so any questions, you guys can give us a call too.
As we always like to tell you too, we encourage you to follow them on social media. Facebook's a great way to keep up to date on all these things, and another great way to register as well.
Yes, for sure, because we put the direct links on there.
Mm-hmm. The email, and we'll give the website, we'll give this again before we wrap up, 4h.extension.wisc.edu. We have another great event coming up.
We do. So we've talked about Juntos before. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to offer another round of it. So Juntos, it's a very unique program, specifically for our Latinx high school students. And we're hoping to expand it this year into our middle school students as well. But we are going to start off again our Juntos program in Marshfield in October 12th. And so for those of you that might not know what Juntos is, it's a 6-week series where we talk about just different topics related to our education system in the U.S. So we have a lot of families from Latin American countries that come here and they get lost, or the students are a little lost, or, you know, there's this miscommunication. I know with me being a first generation student, like, just my parents didn't understand a lot of the things that I was going through when I went to college, right? And so we do with this program, what we try to do is just bridge the gap. That's all we're trying to do, get the parents and the students on the same page, show them kind of what their post-secondary education options are. You know, sometimes we talk about a 4-year university. That's not the only option out there. I mean, we know this. There's lots of great tech colleges around here. We have lots of other apprenticeship programs that kids can do. So really, it's just diving into those topics in a safe space to say, like, here are all the other options, right? And with the students, with specifically the high school group, you know, talking about what do you need to actually graduate? Did you know that you need these credits and these classes for your school? Did you know you could take dual credit classes? Mm-hmm. Like, that is sometimes a very foreign concept to some families. So that's, you know, we talk about financing. So what is really, how much does it cost to go to college? Yeah. Do you want to go to an in-state school? Mm-hmm. Because that might be $20,000 cheaper than, like, you know, if you go out of state, or even the differences between in-state versus out-of-state tuition. What does that mean? So really important topics for our families that sometimes, you know, we don't realize that some families don't know that. So it's starting in October 12th. It's usually 6 to 7:30 around that. We provide dinner, we provide childcare, and it's at the First Presbyterian Church there in Marshfield. So we're really, really excited to offer this again.
Forgive me if I brought this up before, but growing up where I did, I grew up around a ton of Latin families, and in the melting pot of Chicago, every style of, you know, Puerto Rican, Cuban, Mexican, all of this. A good friend of mine growing up, Carlo, his family's from Puerto Rico, and he was first generation too. I'll never, ever forget, as long as I live, him not being at school one day, and then not the next day, and not the next day. And it was because his parents, and there was this huge divide between them understanding what was going on, what his son was learning, and not wanting him to, for one, they weren't even sure necessarily the school schedule. You know, there was nothing in Spanish. And this is because I'm old. This is the 80s we're talking about. The change, the shift that has gone on with this, where we have things like this available now, where our school systems are that much more prepared for these things.
Yes.
But there's still gray area. There's still kids that slip through the cracks. And that's where something like this is so integral. And especially in a state like this, if I can. Wisconsin has a long history of immigration, but I don't think it's well talked about. Going back to Polish families coming to this country, all the way to Mexican American families, the Hmong community, so much of it.
Yes.
And this country is built on immigrants.
Correct.
We are all come from immigrants, and so unless you are a Native American, we all come from this.
Yes.
So this is the essence of America. This is classes like this, things like this. It's what we're about. To be able to know about this is pretty cool. It's not for me, maybe, but I just love hearing about this class and that this is something we have.
Right. And as you talk about it, you know, the way that I see it too, like this is really what equips programs like Juntos, equips our students to succeed.
Yes.
We don't want any of our students to be left, right? Like without the skills or the knowledge that they could be learning and they could be more successful, because eventually, like, they're going to contribute to our economy, our local communities, right? These are all youth that are going to be involved in one way or another in our country. So, like, why not give them those things, those resources that they need, that their parents need, to really help them be successful?
A rising tide raises all boats. We help all kids, it helps all of us.
Correct. I agree with you.
You mentioned some of the things that are available for this. If you're a family and you need childcare, that is available.
Yes, we have childcare. So we really we encourage for the whole family to come together to the program like Juntos. Why? Because then, you know, both of the parents or the family members that the student lives with, they're all getting the same information. That way the kids get we have 4-H activity. So then they start learning about just what they can do in 4-H, right? Like, it's not just, it's so much more. So then, you know, we start rolling with those types of things and kind of get them integrated with those types of programs as well. So yes, there's childcare. We know that one of the barriers for our Latinx community is long work schedule sometimes. And so sometimes, you know, if I understand completely, getting home and feeding the family is important. So let us take care of that. So come over, we'll feed the family for you. So really there, we're trying to minimize as many barriers as possible. It's completely free to participate in Junto. So if anybody knows of any families that might benefit from this, let us know. If transportation is an issue, we can work around that. We can see how we can either do gas cards or things like that. So we are really excited to offer it. Last year when we offered it, we had one family take it. They absolutely loved it. They absolutely, like, the change from the students of when we started with Juntos from week one and then learning all these things through the 6 weeks, by the end of it, the student was so motivated that, like, the parents are still telling me today, like, we are starting the new year again. This, you know, going into the second year, the student was a freshman. Now it's going to be a sophomore. And the student's just so ready to go. Like, and I was just like, oh, that just warms my heart.
Yeah,
because
I felt it. Yeah.
You know that motivation now is there.
Yeah.
And so even if that's the only thing that you get from the program, it's a little bit of motivation because now you know a little bit more. I think that's perfect. I think we've reached the goal.
Forgive me if I'm prying, but Jasmine, would something like this have helped you when you were for starting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a hard, I think that's why I'm so motivated with expanding this program and really offering it in not only Wood County, but Marathon County, since I cover both counties. Because being a first generation student, there were so many times that, like, even in high school, like, my parents, like, they're like, what do you mean you're going to join a club? What does that even mean? And I'm like, well, that's really important for college applications. Because they don't look at just my grades. And they're like, well, but, you know, in our culture, it's like you just get good grades. And I'm like, yeah, in Mexico, I could get good grades and probably get away with a lot of stuff. And you know, like, it go into a lot of colleges. I'm like, here, it's, they want to see it, all these other things. Am I involved in sports? Am I involved in clubs? Am I doing community service? Because all of those things is what makes, you know, per some colleges mm-hmm. or some situations, yep. a whole yep. individual. And so those were really hard conversations because my parents just didn't get it. And I had really good teachers, some yeah. really good teachers that advocated mm-hmm. for me and talked to them directly. And that was how they could help me convince them to join, yeah. you know, a club. So I think that something like this is so important because it really starts those conversations. And the parents are seen from another adult's, right? Like at this point, now I'm the adult in the situation yeah, yeah, yeah. that like, it's okay if your kiddo wants to do this or that. So mm-hmm. it's really helpful. It would have been really helpful for me. So I'm just so passionate about it.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, appreciate of course. That. Again, can we give the details of this?
Yes. So this will be Juntos in Marshfield starting on October 12th for 6 weeks from 6 to 7:30. Dinner and childcare will be available at the First Presbyterian Church. They are located there at 200 South Lincoln Avenue in Marshfield. And they, you know, if people are interested, we don't even have a link for this. They just can call me up and let me know they're coming. My phone number is 715-261-1244.
Jasmine, I was getting some ink done the other couple weeks ago, and yeah. The lady who does my tattooing, Dawn, she's an old high school friend of mine. She works over at Images and Ink here in town. Dawn is a big 4-H person, and she heard one of our conversations. I think it was you and I, it might have been Laura, yeah. but she was referencing it and talking about it. And when I was talking to her, one of the things I realized was you and Laura and I, of course, certainly we focus on the kids and getting kids involved and enrolled with 4-H. Yeah. To the parents out there, or maybe to former 4-H members that are still curious about 4-H, that still would like to help, you can. There's this thing called volunteering.
Yes.
We encourage that. If people are interested in it, and how has that gone with volunteering? Could we certainly, I imagine, can use more.
We can always use more volunteers. You know, I love my role as an educator, but I also love it when I have guests or other speakers or other adults with their talents, really bringing those to 4-H. Mm-hmm. And so we can always use more volunteers. We really, you know, run on volunteers. Mm-hmm. Like the majority of our program, mm-hmm. really all of our program is volunteer work. And so we can always use more. So, and also, right, we always talk about this, like if you are a business mm-hmm. or you own a business, you have a space or things like that, let me know, because we're always looking to also diversify where we hold our programs. Mm-hmm. So that way we have a better reach. And so I'm always willing to collaborate with businesses, with parents, with adults that have a special skill or talent, or they want to bring something to 4-H, just let us know. We will take you.
I've talked to people, and I'm just using this, just grabbing out of the ether or something, mm-hmm. but I've talked to a person about wood carving. And one of the things mm-hmm. that came up in it was, well, I don't know many kids that wood carve anymore, and I'm worried about it dying. And to him, I said, you've got opportunities to keep, you know, make new wood carvers.
Yes.
You can teach a class on wood carving.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like if you want this to continue, it's on your shoulders. You can help that.
Absolutely. I would love it. Like, because I don't know how to do that. Yeah, right? Yeah, like, you and I could probably, like, we would be taking that class.
For years, I would take me on my own. If I took the class, though, yeah, that wouldn't
and
be so
how
bad.
Cool. And that's what's cool about it, too. Like, you know, I see youth that, like, when I can partner with someone mm-hmm. or when someone has a special skill, they teach this workshop, and then the youth that show up for that are really invested. I mean, and now they have a project that they can, like, showcase at the fair, or they have a new skill, or they can start fostering this. You know, we could offer it more than once. And so, yes, absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun.
And you just never know what you might spark in a young mind.
Correct.
And if you get these things out there, that's how we find out, or how we make them happen.
That's right.
If we can go over the details of the Cornhole Tournament one more time before we let you go.
Yes. So our Wood County Teen Leaders present a Cornhole Tournament on October 8th, and that's for grades 3rd through 13th. It starts at 3 o'clock at North Wood County Park here in Wood County. And we have a registration link on our Facebook page, on our website, and we are just asking people to sign up by September 30th.
And Jasmine, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, or just ask about certain things, how can they reach you?
So they can either reach me via email, and all of that information is on our website, wood.extension.wisc.edu, or our main office number there with Wendy or Carly is 715 715- 421-8440, and you'll get either myself or Laura, and we'll be happy to help you.
And if you have any trouble with that, I always like to let people know. I throw it into the search engine, Wood County 4-H yes. or something, and your website pops up immediately.
Right
it's the
away.
First thing there. So
yes, yep.
Either way, you just reach out to the 4-H if need be. Looking forward to hanging out again real soon, Jasmine. Thanks
yes.
for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.